All right, let's take our Bibles once again tonight and turn to Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to attempt to finish up the Apostle Paul and his experience with the glory cloud this evening. No guarantees on that, but that's what's in my heart to do. I only want to read one verse out of chapter 9, but please keep your Bible open, because we're going to refer to several verses along the way here. But we have seen in the past couple of weeks, we have seen that they took Paul into Damascus, and he was there until the Lord sent a fellow by the name of Ananias. Now, there are a lot of Ananiases in the Bible. That must have been a very popular name. Ananias showed up, and the Lord told him, said, I want you to go down, and I want you to pray for him. He is in a house, the house of a fellow by the name of Judas. So Judas was also a very popular name. Not now. People name their dog Judas, but that's about as far as it goes. Does anybody know a Judas? Anybody know one? Not a dog? Not a dog? Not a cat? No. See, we don't know. People don't call their children Judas. All right. They do call them Paul. Right, Paul? Ananias went down and laid hands on Paul so that he could receive his sight. All right, now look at verse 15. When Ananias kind of balked a little bit, he wasn't real thrilled about going down and knocking on the door of a place where Saul of Tarsus was staying. Saul, you remember, was a persecutor of the church, and he had a very, very strong testimony that around, especially around the believers, around the church, that he was not someone to mess with. And so Ananias kind of balked a little bit, but the Lord said, that's in verse 13, and so the Lord said to him these words. He said, verse 14, he said, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, now watch, go thy way. In other words, do what I'm asking you to do. For he, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, I'll stop right there and let's pray, and then I'll show you what I want us to look at tonight. All right, so let's pray first. Our Father, we come now and ask your richest blessings to be upon the preaching of your word. We thank you so much for these verses and for what we can glean from studying the life of the Apostle Paul. And Father, I pray you'll bless tonight as we look at some of the contributions that were made to the church by the ministry and the person of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. And so, Father, I pray you'll bless your word tonight. And we also want to pray for our teenagers up in Michigan. And Father, I pray you'll bless them in a great way. I pray that you'll use them to reach souls. I pray that they'll find a good reception as they go and visit and knock on doors and talk to folks about the Lord Jesus. So, Father, bless our kids, we ask. Give us a good service now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we have been looking for the last couple of Wednesday nights now at the Shekinah glory. That's the glory cloud. The Shekinah was the word means glory, and so we're looking at the times where the Lord Jesus showed up in the Bible, and here in this situation, we see the Apostle Paul coming into Damascus, and we find in verse 2 of this chapter that he had death certificates with him. He came to arrest any of those, had an open arrest warrant, anybody who was involved in this way of Christ, that they were to be arrested and they were to be brought to Jerusalem. Well, as he journeyed, verse 3, there suddenly shined round about him a what? Light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a what? Voice. There it is. Saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So this is where the brilliant light of the Shekinah glory, you remember on the Mount of the Transfiguration, there was a brilliant light that shined when the Lord Jesus was glorified on the mountain. And Elijah and Moses came and talked with him and visited with him. All right, so there was just a bright light there and a bright light here. Okay, but now the purpose for the Lord coming was so the Lord could call Saul of Tarsus to be the man who would replace Judas as God's choice, the Lord's choice, to be the 12th apostle. Now, you remember back in chapter 1, they themselves decided they needed to fill Judas's spot. However, there was absolutely no commission for that to happen. Luke did not say one word, not one word, that there was a commission from heaven for the disciples to do that. All right? And you'll remember that in verse 15, which I read for you just a moment ago, that the Lord now appeared to Ananias and encouraged him not to fear Saul, but to help Saul. The Lord told him that Saul was a chosen vessel. Man, that's awesome, isn't it? A chosen vessel whom the Lord was going to use to take the gospel message to the Gentiles. And folks, listen, we are here tonight because Paul was obedient to that call. All right, please understand that. Every one of us should be thankful to the Apostle Paul because he listened when the Lord called and used him. And so we sit here tonight, saved, on our way to heaven, washed in the blood of the Lamb, loving the Lord Jesus Christ, because Paul and his associates, Barnabas, Timothy, Silas, John Mark, Titus, all right, all these others, and he took the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, don't forget, folks, in the scriptures, there are only two groups of people. There are Jews and there are Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Okay? Is that simple? Now, there are two types of Jews and Gentiles. There are saved and there are unsaved. Okay? But that's it. There's not some riding the fence. Okay? There's not some in a gray area somewhere. There are not some in a holding tank somewhere. All right? No such thing as purgatory. It's not in the Bible. What is in the Bible is the fact that the Lord Jesus purged our sins. The Lord Jesus is our purgatory. You see that? He's the one that purges us of our sin. So, Saul, who became Paul, had been so feared and had persecuted the church in such horrible, horrible ways that the Christians, the church folks in Damascus, did not trust him. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't blame them. I wouldn't have trusted him either until I saw some fruit, some evidence that he was truly born again. So they did not trust him. Now, look please over at verse, look please at verse 23, all right? We'll go back to 22. You'll notice here in verse 22, Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus. What's the next word? Proving that this is very Christ. In other words, he is convincing the Jews in Damascus, not the Christians, but the Jews. No doubt the Christians are watching and they're listening and they're learning. All right? But he is convincing the Jews that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, or the Messiah. Now, verse 23 says that, and after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. What nice people. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what nice people are these that they want to kill him? Unbelievable. Verse 24, but their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by a wall in a basket. All right, so they helped him escape the those kind-hearted Jews. Next verse, 26. Now watch this. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed, that means he wanted to, he desired to join himself to the disciples. But they were, what's the next word? All afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now, there's there's something that I want to point out to you here. This is what I'm going to show you right now is a little bit vague, and there's been some debate about the timing of some of these things I'm about to give you. But I think that what I'm about to share with you took place right here at the end of verse 25. You say, well, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor? All right, go over, please, to the book of Galatians for just a moment. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians. In chapter 1. All right, now you probably read these verses, and but now we're going to see if we can make some sense of it and where it fits in all of in the scripture. All right, so notice he says, Paul, in verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul, what's the next two words? An apostle. All right, now don't forget that. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle. Now, this is one of the first books that Paul wrote, Galatians. And right off the bat, he says that he is an apostle. Notice this. Not of men, neither by man. In other words, you know, Matthias couldn't say that, could he? Huh? Paul, an apostle, not of men. Well, that's how Matthias got in. He then said, neither by man. In other words, nobody called him who was a living human being on this planet. You say, well, then who called him? Jesus did. See the difference? So he's clarifying here that some things that are important. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So, that's his introduction to the church. Now, go down, please, for just a moment to verse 12. Verse 12. Well, let's go back to verse 11. I'm sorry. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? In other words, I did not get this sitting in a Sunday school class. What I'm about to give you, Saul said, I didn't learn this in vacation Bible school. I didn't even learn this in seminary. But the Lord revealed it to me. All right, what is it? Verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, in Judaism. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly what? Zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now watch this. Neither went I up to where? Jerusalem. Now, if you remember back here in Acts chapter 9, I was going to tell you to hold the place, and I didn't hold it. All right, so hang on there a minute. All right, in chapter 9 and in verse 24, all right, or verse 22, they were at Damascus, all right, still at Damascus. And he said, in verse 24, they were laying in wait, and they watched the gates day and night to kill me. Then in verse 25, then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Notice, period. See that? And then the next verse says, in verse 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem. Now, the thing of it is, we don't know when he came to Jerusalem from this, from Acts 9. Would you agree with that? All right, now go back to Galatians 1. Go back to, don't lose me now. All right, verse, let's see, where was I? Verse 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. All right? So when he got saved in Damascus, on the Damascus Road, when the Lord appeared to him and chose him to be the vessel that he was going to use to get the gospel to kings and to the Gentiles and to the Jews, he had not yet been to Jerusalem. All right, everybody see that? All right, so what does he say he did? Well, if you read in the middle of verse 17, he said, I didn't go see the apostles who were apostles before I was, but I went into where? Arabia. Now today, that is Saudi Arabia. All right? But it's been Arabia for thousands and thousands of years. And he said I went into Arabia and returned again to where? He didn't go to Jerusalem from spending time in Arabia, in the desert. You say, well, what was he doing down there? He was being taught by the Holy Spirit what he would need to know in order to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Folks, listen, I believe this fervently. A call to preach is a call to prepare. All right? A call to preach is a call to prepare. Down in West Virginia, they used to ask me all the time, why'd you go to college? What'd you go to Bible college for? Well, a call to preach is a call to prepare. I said, I'm just following the example of the Apostle Paul. Well, Paul didn't go to college. Yes, he did. Yes, he most certainly did. All right. But then look, please, at verse 18. It says, then after 3 years, I went, notice this again, up. Jerusalem is always up. Always. It doesn't make any difference which direction you're coming from. You got to go up to get to Jerusalem. It is right smack on top of those mountains of Judea. All right? And so he said, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now watch. But other of the apostles saw I none save or except James, the Lord's brother, that'd be half-brother. Verse 20, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. So in other words, Paul said, what I am sharing with you is the truth. This is what happened. So what we see here is that the Christians in Damascus did not trust him. And then in verse 26, when eventually, after 3 years, and I think what that 3 years is from the day he got saved, 3 years went by before he went to Jerusalem. All right, you following that? He did not go. Why? Because according to verse 26, when he wanted to go and join himself to the disciples, they were afraid of him. They did not want to fellowship with him because they were afraid of him. All right, everybody understand that? So I have no doubt at all that that Paul was indeed called and that he was not lying. You know why I believe that so sincerely? Because even as a young Christian, he did not get upset when the other men who were apostles before him rejected him. I wonder how many of us would have gotten angry, would have gotten bitter. Well, if they don't want me, I'll just go start my own church. And you go off into some kind of heresy. Go off into some kind of doctrine that, listen, folks, we see Paul coming back because he wanted instruction more. He wanted help. He wanted encouragement. Go back to the text verse for just a minute. Verse 15. Of chapter 9. And read the rest of it. He said, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now look at the next verse. For I will show him how great things he must suffer. Oh boy. I'm sure he sat there and thought, praise the Lord, I get to suffer. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Folks, he didn't get angry when he was rejected. He didn't pout. He didn't pout. He just simply trusted in the Lord and let the Lord work things out. And notice in verse 27 what we read. It says, but Barnabas. Oh, thank God for Barnabas. Remember his name, they called him the son of consolation. That's wonderful, isn't it? The son of consolation. When everybody else rejected Saul of Tarsus, Barnabas put his arm around him and said, won't you run around with me for a little while? All right? Why don't you and I do something for God? And that's what they did. All right? That's what they did. But we all know that Paul did some amazing things. And we all know that Paul suffered great things. I mean, I don't know of any one of the others who suffered as much as Paul did. He suffered beyond comprehension, folks. Now, his incredible life and his remarkable service allowed the Apostle Paul to make some tremendous contributions to the church. Now, I want us to look at some of those contributions. First of all, Paul brought to the church her last, and in my opinion, her greatest apostle. Now, there's some argument. Some folks will say John was the greatest. But I think if you were to talk to John about it, John would tell you, oh, no, I think Paul should get that honor. I think Paul should get that honor. If you talk to Paul, he would tell you he's the greatest. He did. All right? He did tell us. But he told us by divine inspiration. All right? But I think if you had talked to John, John would have said, oh, no, I think Paul is the greatest of the apostles. Now, due to the sin of Judas, and then the subsequent suicide of Judas, there was a vacancy among the apostles. And we saw the 11 decide they wanted to get the group back to 12. And it's clear in the first chapter that the 11 remaining apostles had no command or no directive from heaven to choose a man to replace Judas. And what they did was they selected two men, Matthias and Justus, as their two choices. Now, I got a question for you. Why pit one man against another? Folks, if both of these guys are qualified enough and respected enough, doesn't it seem a little strange that they would pit one against the other? I mean, if you're going to choose two, to clear out any hard feelings, why not just anoint two? But no, they didn't do that. They cast lots, and naturally the lot is going to fall on one or the other. It's not rocket science. All right? You see, the problem here, when they did this, there was no Lord involved in the choice. Jesus was not consulted. All right? Just that clear. And they thought, well, we got to do this. No, they should have waited. They should have waited. Isn't one of the two going to be very disappointed? Certainly. And maybe even a little offended because he was not selected. And besides, who chose the other apostles? Jesus did. Exactly, Jesus chose the others. The other 11 were all chosen and called into the ministry by the Lord Jesus. So it seems to me that it is pretty clear the 11 exceeded their authority. All right? Now, that takes me back to Genesis, or Galatians 1. They both start with a G. I have drain bramage. been out in the sun too long. Drain bramage. All right, go back to Galatians 1:1 again. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Those are great credentials. Would you not agree? Sure they are. Great credentials. And he said that that he was chosen and called, just like the Lord said to Ananias, he was chosen as a vessel to take the gospel to the Gentiles. All right? So Matthias could not say that he was chosen by the Lord Jesus. All he could say was he was chosen by his brethren. But he could not say that he was chosen by the Lord Jesus. But it was the Lord Jesus who appeared to Paul, and it was the Lord Jesus who chose Paul. It was the risen, living, glorified Savior who appeared to Saul and who bestowed upon him all the rights and privileges and responsibilities of the ministry. That's quite a calling. That's quite a calling. Now, besides seeing the Lord Jesus face to face in the glory cloud, let me have you turn now to 1 Corinthians. Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 1 Corinthians 9. Let me read you another verse here. Paul explaining himself. All right, 1 Corinthians 9. Look at verse 1. He is writing here to the Corinthians. And notice in verse 1, he says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? Don't forget, Paul was the man that started this church in Corinth. He started it. He went there and led folks to the Lord and started the church at Corinth. He said, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. I mean, you ought to just look at the fact here, church. You're saved on your way to heaven for all eternity because the gospel was preached unto you. And Paul said, I was the one that preached that gospel to you. That's pretty good credentials right there. How could they argue with that? I don't think they could. Do you? Am I not an apostle? Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Go over to 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 8. 15 and verse 8. He said, and after that, the resurrected Jesus was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. So Paul said, hey, the others saw the Lord in person. They're apostles. They were called by Jesus. But wait a minute. I saw him too. All right? I saw him. And I spoke with him. And he spoke to me. and called me to do his work. Man, what a point. Folks, I guess the point is that the revelation of the risen Christ through the ministry of the glory cloud made Paul the last of the apostles. That's clear from the things that Paul said. And in my opinion, Paul became the greatest of the apostles in his service and in his suffering. Paul was a tireless worker before his conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went day and night persecuting the church, his own testimony. And he did not slow down for the Lord after the Lord appeared to him in the glory cloud. So point one, the fact that Paul brought to the church the last and greatest of the apostles. Then secondly, Paul brought to the church, number two, Paul brought to the church her system of doctrine. As no other person, Paul was able to state, to define, and to arrange the teachings of Christ and the doctrines of Christianity so accurately, logically, and convincingly that critics have not been able to oppose his teaching and his doctrine successfully. They just can't win against it. He explains in his epistles the foundational messages of Christianity. All right, real quick, turn over to Ephesians for just a moment. Chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. All right, look at verse 1. Verse 1. And here's what he says. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, we don't use that today, but given me to you, how that by revelation, all right, don't miss that, how that by revelation, he made known unto me the what? The mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So Paul said, the Lord called me. And it was not a mistake that the Apostle Paul was trained under the Rabbi Gamaliel. That was not by accident. Paul was a brilliant man. He knew Judaism. And by the way, Gamaliel, that was the rabbi you wanted to be under in the first century. You wanted to be under him. Not everybody could be under him. He only took the brightest and the best. And there's old Paul right in the middle of him. Learning, ever learning. And that's the man that the Lord called. And verse 3, probably down in the desert, down in Arabia, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, and that mystery is Christ. Wow. And that's Paul, the one that gave us that system. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You see, folks, it was Paul that went to the Gentiles and said, hey, Jesus died for you folks too. Not just for the Jews. Oh, he died for the Jews, but he also died for you. And I'm sure the Jews were saying, well, we've never heard this before. Who is this Jesus? Tell us more about him. Well, there was nobody any better than the Apostle Paul to sit down and make a case for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what a gospel. And Paul's the one that the Lord used to put it into clearly understood language, what Jesus did for us. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I think so. All right, look down at verse 9. He said, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, how do we learn the manifold wisdom of God? Right here. This is it. And Paul sat under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he wrote these epistles, and in those epistles that are in our New Testament is the very foundation of the doctrine that Jesus gave us. The foundation of Christianity is right there. And Paul made the cardinal doctrines of Christ the property of all men. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I think that's awesome. All right, well, I got number 3 and I got number 4. And then I got the wrap up. So no way we can do it tonight, but we'll pick it up next time. We're not in that big a hurry, are we? All right. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now so much for your wonderful word. Father, bless this to our hearts. Give us understanding of your word. Help us to see that the New Testament is very clear that that Paul was the chosen vessel. He was the chosen vessel to take the place of Judas. And Father, how you used that man. We are all here tonight because of the dedication and the faithfulness and the suffering that the Apostle Paul had to endure. And Father, thank you for the doctrine that Paul so clearly expounds for us in book after book after book. And Father, we just pray that you'll give us a heart to want to learn and know that doctrine frontwards and backwards, so that we know what we believe and we know why we believe it, and we're ready to give an answer to every man that asks a hope, for the hope that lies within us. Father, help us to be able to share it and explain it. And may the Holy Spirit of God direct all that we do for you. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Amen.